look at the word. Lord, thank you that I just come in the spiritual realm and just declare thank you. You are our God and your hand is over us and you lead us. Thank you, Father God, for it's no longer Retief who lives, but it's Christ who lives in him. And I just pray, Lord, that you will come and share through your spirit with our hearts and just bring to remembrance or bring up what is needed to be heard. And wherever you want to bring a change in our life, thank you, Lord, that you will do so. Thank you for the blood of Christ over us, what we pray and what happens here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, cool. We've been chatting about being anchored for a number of weeks now, prophetically, as the Lord spoke to us at the end of last year. I'm not going to go through all of them again. You can go to the next slide. But today we're going to stand still at a very important fact, a very important spiritual truth that I believe is part of every one of our lives, every single day, if we apply it, if we walk in that. And you can just remember the three words, death to life. Just remember death to life, that's all. So I'm going to ask you, what are we being anchored to today? I wake you up on Wednesday night, you just need to wake up and say death to life. That's all you can take home. And all you can remember, not all, but it's the most important thing that you can remember, because out of that, I believe God's just breaking open a truth. You're going to learn, probably you're going to learn nothing new today. But we are going to be challenged to look each other in the eye, to look Christ in the eye and say, am I really walking and living in this truth, in the supernatural empowerment of the Lord? Am I living that? Is my life a testimony of that? Am I bearing the fruit of this truth? We had a look at all of those things that we needed to be anchored in. And last week, one of my favorite topics, that the time before, was just our identity in the Lord. And just quickly, just wrapping that up again, we said that we need to be anchored in sonship. Something we touched on just now. What happened to Jesus in Matthew 3? And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. This is nothing like a Christian that knows who they are. You just see it. You just smell it. It's just contagious. If they truly know, is it an easier walk? Are they better off than anybody? No. None whatsoever. But it's a mere fact of when assaulted, when confronted by the lies and the attacks and the fiery dart of the enemy, they at least know what to say. And I believe it's a very good foundation. And so we went on to say, like Christ at that moment, God coming to him. By the way, Christ going into ministry. And before he went into ministry, before he did a single thing, God said to him, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. So firstly, I said the following, that God did not say, this is my office bearer, king, prophet, and priest. This is not my apostle, in whom, when he's done his job, I'll be well pleased. No, he said not one of those things. He didn't refer to the office of the Lord, or the offices of Christ, or the jobs. This is my carpenter, and I'm yet more near. He said, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Pleased before he did the job, even. And so in our culture, in our mindsets, even this morning, I realized with the love of God, we need to always double check. Am I trying to do stuff for the Lord? What is important to me? The fact that I'm a pastor, or a this, or a that, or the mere fact that I'm a child of God, and by grace, a son of God, and that he's pleased through the blood, not through the fact that I hold the mic, or that Pietri strung his guitar this morning. No, not at all. Galatians 4:6 said to us, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, what? Pastoor, nee. Lawyer, nee. Koning, priester, profete, my huis, nee. Son, Abba, Father. We're not knocking any of those things. We're not knocking the offices. We need to do the things that God leads us into. But we're saying we're building it upon a foundation of sonship. So that's important. God, through grace, sees son, not function first. Does it abscond us of fulfilling the function and the calling of our lives? No, not at all. But so, it is important to just check yourself, just check your heart. And when you're in a conversation with somebody, maybe just see upon what are they building. Because if they defining themselves within the offices they find themselves, for instance, in ministry or Christianity, they're going to look through that glasses at your life as well. If I'm a teacher and only a teacher, and I've not gotten sonship in my spirit, and I know the word off heart, which is a good thing, but I'm actually feeling and living far from the Lord, not connected to Him, not seeing myself as a son of God, then that's the way in which they will project it to you. That's the way in which they'll look to you. And moreover, if you do it, you'll do the same with them. So that's what we need to be anchored in. Today, we are looking at another thing, another link, another principle, another truth that we need to be anchored in as Christians. And that's merely to say death to life. Who's had an experience from death to life? Four of you guys. Great. For the rest of you, I've got a whole sermon prepared. You can go to the next slide. Thank you very much. Petri quickly referred to it. And, yeah, guys, let's not get tangled in Easter egg stories and bunnies and who, what, and where, and what. What is it all about? If you've got questions, research it. Go to Scripture. That's just maybe where I'm going to leave it. Let's just go to Scripture. But for me, this weekend is important because guess what? Last weekend was important. And yes, Resurrection Sunday is very important to me. But guess what? It is as important tomorrow. Christ is already risen. And if I'm not living that day in and day out, then I'm going to fall short. And some of my life is going to be caught up in death. And that's what we're going to just... We're going to prod. We're going to be oops, and now there's a seer. And then we're going to trust the Holy Spirit just to reveal to us, where are we not living in this truth of a king, of a Messiah, that can only bring forth life from death. That's who He is. That's what He does. Anyway, going to the Passover, Petri shared a bit about that. I said that Passover is something that is really important to us as Christians. And this weekend, obviously, we just celebrate the crucifixion, the death of Christ, and the resurrection. And it's not one or the other. Many symbols of Christianity is obviously a cross. And so it's beautiful, and we don't take it away, but you also need the symbol of an empty grave, because they go hand in hand. He died, but He rose again. As we said in worship, sometimes maybe Christians get stuck. We get stuck in a place where we had Saturday. Yes, we acknowledge the cross, but do we still acknowledge and do we see and do we experience the resurrection power in our lives? Do we see that in our everyday life? Do we bear that fruit in our life? Now, the Passover was firstly in the Old Testament. You know the story, Peter said, in Exodus 12, where God instituted the Passover. Now, they were in slavery for about 430 years in Egypt, Israel, that is. And obviously, the bondage and captivity and slavery under Pharaoh was horrific, and they needed to get out. Now, God sent Moses. Moses then said, "Who am I to be sent?" God sent him, and then He did a couple of supernatural things. Amongst other, the 10 plagues. And now the 10th plague is quite important to us, because that was when God came over Egypt and He took the firstborn in that country. But He said to them, if, obviously you adhere to, as read before, these couple of things, death will pass over. Now you know that, as we've heard, they took the blood of a lamb, 1-year-old lamb, and then they just sprinkled or just applied it to the doorposts of their homes. And so they missed out on this horrific thing that had happened. Now for us, this is common cause. And that's maybe a good thing to just come and check yourself. I've heard this so many times. I know the story inside and out. I can quote the scriptures. I know where it stands. But the question today is not if you know the story. The question today is, are you living in the reality of the story every day? Is the power of the story still evident in your life? Not can I quote it and tell it to kids, because that's also a good thing. But am I living the resurrection, the resurrecting power? Am I living the Passover power in all areas of my life? I'll tell you how I got to that place a bit later. Not too late, but a bit later. So, Exodus 12. Petri read for us, but let's go there quickly. Remember, we're just sitting on the stage. We're taking a klein wandelstapie vinnig net deur die skrif, sodat ons op 'n plek kan kom waar ek glo God net met ons wil praat. God just speaks to our hearts. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month is to be the beginning of the months for you. It is the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, they must each select an animal of the flock according to their father's household, one animal per household. And then in verse 7 it says, they must take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts and the lintel of the houses where they eat them. Here is how you must eat it. And it goes on. I'm going to go skip a couple of verses, go to verse 12. I will pass through the land of Egypt on the night and strike every firstborn male in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. I am Yahweh. I will execute judgments against all the gods of Egypt. The blood on the houses where you are staying will be a distinguishing mark for you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will be among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day is to be a memorial for you. And so the Passover was instituted. Firstly, the action happened. It's not just a cute story, the action really happened. Obviously they left. And then for the years gone by, and the years that passed that event, they had to celebrate this Passover every single year in a manner which God told them. To be reminded of the day that God saved all the firstborns, where death passed over because we walked in obedience. And so that was the shadow. And what do we get in the New Testament then? The cross. Yes, the cross. We get the fulfillment in the New Testament in who? Christ Jesus. So the fulfillment of that shadow, God showed us a picture. And likewise, not only for Israel, but for all of us. Death can pass over. Destruction can pass over. The effect of sin can pass over when what? We have faith in Christ. We apply the blood. But where do we apply it now? In our lives, yes. Or over, maybe we can say in our hearts. The doorposts of our hearts. So God just showed us a bit of a shadow there and the fulfillment we find in Christ. Now, obviously, this is not a Bible school exercise. We just taking a couple of dots just to make sure that we have it, and then we're going to connect them shortly. But obviously, if something trickles you here, if the Spirit just touches on something that you want to know more about, please research. Make sure this is part of your life. Make sure this truth is part of being anchored in your life. Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection took place at the time of Passover. So God had that time of Passover. They celebrated it yearly. Christ came as the Messiah, and then beautifully God set it up that on the same time the Passover would have taken place, the real Passover took place in Jesus Christ. There you see in Matthew 26, you know that the Passover takes place after 2 days, and the Son of Man, Jesus, will be handed over to be crucified. Now just before the crucifixion, what happened? They were in the upper room. Okay. They had a meal. What was that meal called? The Last Supper or the Lord's Supper? Yes. What happened in Egypt? With the Passover, a lot happened in Egypt. Sorry, I need to be more specific. They kind of had a Last Supper. So you see these two things link up so beautifully. Shadow of this picture. Shadow of this fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So he says, hey guys, we're going to go do the Passover meal, knowing that he is actually the Lamb of the real Passover going to Jerusalem. He goes to the upper room and then he establishes the Lord's Supper, which we can say is the New Testament version of the Passover, or the Passover supper, Passover meal. Does that make sense? He breaks bread and he shares with them the wine, saying that this is his body. These guys are thinking, what is he on? But today we've got the beautiful grace of God to see this picture. So the crucifixion comes, Jesus gives his life, and we know the story. Who's still blessed by the story, by the way? Are we really just, I think one should take our time just now and again just to meditate again on what happened. And so in Mark 15, with the fulfillment of the Passover, we can say the following happens in verse 33. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema," and I can't really pronounce that name. I went to go listen, but I still do struggle, but you're more than welcome to read it. But he just breathes that out, he just shouts that out, which is translated as, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then Christ dies, and he lays down his life. And that first act obviously makes, or opened up the door that we can all sit here today, that our kids can run around and enjoy kids' church. And each and every one of us has a story. What happens 3 days later? He rose again. What did he promise he will do? Yes. But in that 3 days, what did the disciples, what did Mary and the bunch, what did they think? What did they say? We can sit here knowing, farewell, that he did rise again. He was raised up again. That he was resurrected again. But just imagine the 3 days where they think, hectic, he came. We thought this is the one. He's going to save us. He's going to be the one that is going to overturn the Roman Empire. He's going to be the King of Kings. He's going to be the leader. So he got on a donkey and he got crucified and he died on the cross. It just didn't add up. But just for the sake of time, let's just run through the story. Not that it should become commonplace, but that we can get to a place maybe of conviction and empowerment this morning again. Mark 16:3-6. This is Mary and a friend, I think it was Salome. I'll have a look just quickly just now. But they were saying to one another as they went to the tomb, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us?" Looking up, they observed that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. They were amazed and alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Holy Spirit, we just come in this moment now. We just ask that you just tug on hearts. You tug on our spirit, not to just hear with our ears and our minds, but that the fullness of this glorious moment, this fullness of this truth, will not only permeate, but will just again blast through our lives. That only you can do, but no man. We thank you, Holy Spirit. "He has risen," was said. "He has risen." And so Jesus, as it was prophesied, Jesus had overcome death. We know the full story. Romans 6 verse 9 is the following. "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." And so, Christ came, and he died once and all for all for sin. And he overcame death. And he overcame death. Now, firstly and foremostly, how is that applicable to our lives? We are in sin, and then dead. Found dead in our sins and left to our own devices, if not for Christ. But this in Isaiah 53, verse 5-7, is what is promised will happen through this amazing work of Christ. "But he was pierced because of our own transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punished commitment for our peace was on Him. So just quickly think of the stuff that has happened in your life, the stuff that you have done. And just again remind yourself of the fact that He has taken this on you. And we are healed by His wounds. We are healed by His wounds. Remember, this is the one that has overcome death. He is the one that heals, healed by His wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way. And the Lord has punished Him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before his shearers, He did not open His mouth. And so we see how the Passover lamb has now become the fulfillment to all man in the form of Jesus Christ. And He did all of these things for us. There was a transaction happening for us. He overcame death so that we can live. Are you going to say, yes, yes, you think I know that? The question is this, are we truly living? One point today, and that is it. Death to life. You go to the next slide. Death to life. Because we can know this story, it can even tickle our ears. We can go and see plays about it. We can have Kerry Fish till it comes out our ears with it. We can do whatever we do this time of year. But the question is just, are we living in a place of death to life? I'm going to tell you now why this is so dear to my heart. Am I daily living in this truth? Am I daily seeing death becoming life in my life? Isaiah 25:8 says, He will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces and will remove the reproach of His people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Firstly, and I don't knock this, but I want to get past this quickly. Firstly, we died, and then we get born again because of Christ. John 11:25. Beautiful. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes Me will live, even though he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in Me will never die. Beautiful truth. So you get born again because of what Christ has done. You get born again because you partake and you have faith in this perfect Lamb being slaughtered. You know that He takes you from death to life. Being born again. But here's the catch. Not a catch. But here's a place where, even though I have all of these things, and even though I believe it, there's a moment last week where there was a lot of pressure, very busy. Didn't get much sleep on Thursday. We had on Wednesday evening, we had a meeting and spent some late hours with Pietri, and it was really awesome. Wake up quite early. Didn't get my quiet time in as I ought to. Was in the car driving with my family. And so the pressure was building. I was quite tired. And in a moment of really bad character, I just snapped and I was really angry. Really full of anger. And I just shouted at someone in my family. And it was as if my whole life just came to a standstill. Just got out of the car. It wasn't like nothing that you need to call the police for, but still, for me, it was like the end of the world. I just snapped. And I got so mad. Rah! I had this outburst of anger. In a place of absolute poor, poor character. I'm not just telling you this to be funny, but I'm telling you guys this so that we can bring perspective to this message. So that I just don't come and do an Easter Sunday service to tickle ears and to again tell you about the story that you've heard so many millions of times. But in that place of being utterly distraught at my own bad character, I realized that there's an area of my life that is not living in the true resurrection power of Christ. There's an area that is because of sin, open to the place of death. Because if you move in anger or you say something like that and you burst out in the flesh, that brings forth death in other hearts. That can kill a relationship, if not intact. That is everything but a resurrection power. That is everything but what we celebrate today. And so firstly, I started to just, it was for me a big thing, but I began to just talk and pray through it with each family member and say, sorry, I shouted that loud. I apologize. This is all the reasons. God will not do it. And I trusted the Lord to bring restoration. And then at the end of the day, I took time out and I said, Lord, speak to me. Because you know yourself, a pastor is nothing different than any other Christian. It's just maybe the pressure that's a bit different now and again. And I went to the Lord and I just said, Lord, I might have wrongly started to think that I do things by OLIP. But in this moment, I just realized I'm not living out this truth. I'm not living this truth. I can come and stand here and preach about it, but in that moment, there was not that truth. And then he just comes and just takes off the light. He just comes and he touches that foot. I realized that, yes, I'm born again. Yes, I believe in the cross. Yes, I know the factual basis for all of this. I know the scriptures around it. But I want to live it. There's an area of sin that leads to death in my life. Or there was in that moment. And I'm saying it's not been sanctified. It's not been healed. It has not had the moment where it went from death to life. I want the fullness of Christ and His resurrection, as Paul says. I want to know the fullness. Not when I preach. Not when I chat about it. Because the most important part of ministry is there where you guys are not around. And so I just... And then he lifted it off. There was no condemnation. He just lifted it off and everything turned very quickly. But I had to get that clock. To get to the place where we don't come here and tell each other the sweet stories about Jesus. But yet, he's still waiting for an area of death that he wants to bring to life in your life. And that's what I'm trusting the Holy Spirit for amongst us. Yes, you're born again. Hallelujah. Yes, he's busy with the work of sanctification. Salvation is a process. But we work it out with fear and trembling. We say, Lord, I want the resurrection power in every part of my life. Ek wil nie net die bumper sticker hê nie. I just don't want the Facebook status. I want you in that place of pressure or being hungry or being tired and the kids whack, whack, whack going on. I want Christ and I want His resurrection power. I might not have it this year. I might not even have it in a year's time or year and a half's time, but I know that He will bring forth His resurrection power in all of my life. I'm trusting that there might be a relationship. There might be a friendship. It might be an area of your life that you say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, He died. It's beautiful. Yes, the tomb is empty. But here's the stench of sin and death in my life, and it's hurting me and other people. I want that God to be resurrected. I want that to be dealt with. I want the one that killed and overcame death to step into that. Because he didn't pay a cheap price. He paid a very expensive price. Hebrews 2:14 to 15 says, now since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death. Is there an area of your life that the one that holds power of death still holds on to? By the way, it is finished. We're not backtracking. We're just saying the enemy is taking chances in areas of our lives. And today we're not just doing Facebook statuses. We're opening up our lives and say, Lord, please, in a loving, fatherly way, audit my life. Spirit of God, go through my life. And spot out, where is the resurrection truth not evident? Where is the tomb not empty? Where, as James says, is sin leading to death? Because if sin is leading to death, Christ is not in there. And today you can stand in the gap for somebody else. If you notice that in your mother's life, man, she loves the Lord, but yet that one area is just so stuck. and death is still there. I just want to tell you that the enemy is illegally there. He is illegally there. And it just takes one person to come and stand in the gap, remind the spiritual forces, remind the heavenly realm of the resurrection power and the fact that it is finished. Now, character I know gets built over time, but I can at least give the battle to the Lord and say, to be honest, I want the resurrection power in this area of my life as well. And free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. Thank you, Holy Spirit. No condemnation, but you just show us slavery so that we can walk in the fullness of Resurrection Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Luke 10:19 says, "Look, I have given you the authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." Something harmed us on Thursday. I was at fault. But something hurt my family and I. It was a bad character flaw in a moment. But I can stand around or I can put it under the carpet. Or I can say, no, Christ, you're bigger than this. You're bigger than this. Your resurrection power is supernatural. Yes, I want to see people raised from the dead. Of course. But I also want to see Christ's resurrection in this moment. Because the Word says nothing will ever harm. What do we want to multiply in our kids? What do we want to multiply in the next generation? We want to see miracle signs and wonders. Yes, I'm first in queue. But I would love to see some character as well. I would love to see character in my life as well as the supernatural. Let's just be honest. John 10:10, as we finish up, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and life in abundance. The thief comes to what? Bring death. Christ says, no, whoa, I bring life and life in abundance. If you take this truth and you just apply it to all areas of your life, it's actually a very easy sum. And then you can realize, but the battle has been won. It just needs to be enforced. As a lawyer, I would get a court order in a matter, but nothing has changed to the facts until I take it to the sheriff of the court. He goes and he drives over to Pete's house and says, Pete, excuse me. This is what the court said. We enforce the court's order now. We are already standing in truth. We are already past Sunday. We are already in the resurrection place. And the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. But we need to enforce and choose. And we need to be humble maybe and teachable. Because Christ so desperately wants to bring life, 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 life. I can't say it's his main mission because Scripture doesn't say that, but I believe it's one of his main missions. Is to where he sees death, he wants to bring life. It's what he does. We need to let him do that. There's a couple of other stuff that I wanted to share, but we're not going to have time because I believe we need to stand still in this place. Where do you need death to life in your life? In what area? When I met Edna, I was still in the world. I wasn't born again. I wasn't born again. And I didn't believe in marriage. So I told her, I don't believe in marriage. I was broken. Broken of what I've seen and what has happened in my life. And I just said, I don't believe in marriage. There was death. Because of sin, because of brokenness, I believed the lie. But Christ came and he says, I see death, but guess what? I've done something amazing by the grace of God to you. Let me, through my Spirit, through my Word, through my truth, bring restoration, resurrection, and life in this place. And today, obviously, I believe wholeheartedly in godly marriage. I'll fight for it as the Lord leads me. What is the areas in your life? Might be finances, sickness, whatever it is. What is the areas, where do you need death to life? What are the areas you need resurrection? Who needs the resurrection around you? Maybe a family member truly needs the resurrection power of Christ in their lives. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Today we're going to bring those, again, if you don't mind, maybe just to save time, just come and grab yourself. We're not that many people. Come and grab yourself some of the elements. And after we've handed it out. So they can just come forward and they can just come and grab then make sure that everybody is awake. Thanks. As you come forward, Paul said the following in Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Do you want to know the power of his resurrection? All right, everybody has a piece. I said just now in Philippians 3:10, Paul said, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Now that power of his resurrection, it's not a once-off. The power of the resurrection is not a once-off. And with all due respect, it's also not an Easter Sunday. It's not a weekend thing. It's a 24/7 thing for each and every one of us. It's a living, breathing reality. 24/7, the power of the resurrection. Crucifixion and the resurrection power. And like with the Passover, death came over, so with the Lord's Supper today, we're going to stand in faith that wherever there's still death because of sin stuck in our lives somewhere, that we're going to bring it before the Lord. We say, Lord, thank you that Christ has also died for this, for the fullness of the resurrection power in my life. And then also for family members, maybe, as I said, there's a relationship that might have broken down. And you say, it's definitely not life. There's only two options, death or life. Jesus, are you willing? Because I'm willing to believe. I want us to just get together two, maybe three. I know this is maybe a bit awkward, but I believe there's power in speaking what you're going to trust God for in this place. So maybe just look around, grab somebody, 2, 2, 3, 3, and then we bring to him the beautiful exchange. As the Holy Spirit shows you, what is it that Christ needs to bring or take from death to life in your life? Before you pray, maybe even if the Holy Spirit just convicts you, just ask, just repent for anything that the Holy Spirit shows you, and then just pray together, saying, Lord, I am trusting you to bring to life this area of my life. I'm trusting you for the fullness of the resurrection power in my life. Take a moment. Thank you. Finish up what is on your heart. Jesus Christ, thank you that we know that you most certainly didn't give yourself an absolute, most perfect, beautiful price, so that the stains of death may be left in our lives or in our marriages or in our homes. We don't believe that. We believe, Jesus Christ, that you paid the perfect price, that you were raised again from the dead, so that all stains of death may be washed by the blood in every area of character, in every area of our homes, in our families, in every area that we lay at your feet, that we lay before an empty tomb. We thank you, Spirit of God, the one that the Word says raised Christ from the dead, that you will touch, permeate, and get into each and every area of our lives. Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray that and we thank you for that. Amen.